We're going to go to the Word of God, and I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6, we'll take our scripture reading from. Verse number 7 of Hebrews chapter 6. The Word of God says, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that every one of you do this, show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Can you say amen? Amen to the Lord's word. You may be seated. I'd like for us to pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this service this morning. Thank you for everyone that's here. We ask a special blessing, Lord, upon our visitors that came today, that you'll bless them. Thank you, Lord, that they come to be with us today. I pray that you'll manifest your spirit and your touch in every area of their life that they need it most. Lord, I pray that you'll touch us with your fresh anointing, a touch from heaven that we so desperately need. I ask you, Lord, to hide me behind the cross. I ask you, Lord, that you will open our eyes, that we'll behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture here and the writer says that the earth which drinketh the rain that cometh oft upon it, and it receiveth blessing from God. Receiveth blessing from God. But he said, that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The scripture and the writer here says, but we are persuaded better things of you. He said, and things that accompany salvation. I would like to preach on that line this morning. Things that accompany salvation. To accompany is to go with, to be associated with. And the writer here is very plain that there are things that accompany salvation. I'm afraid we've got to the day in this nation that being a Christian is just believing in God. You know, if, as long as you believe in God, you're a Christian. Well, if that's the case, the demons are Christians. Because the scripture says that the devils believe and tremble. Matter of fact, they're a little bit better Christians than most people. At least they tremble. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. You know what? There's a whole lot more to it than just believing in God. Can you say amen? Amen. We've got to live a different life. And this scripture here says things that accompany salvation. There is no way that I could talk about all the things that accompany salvation. In other words, just come with it. When you get saved, amen, there's just some things that come with it. And there is no way that I would have the time this morning. There's no way that I could probably come up with them all. Because when you got them all, there'd be something else So I would just like to talk about a few things, but he said here that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. I'm telling you what, one thing that accompanies salvation is work and for God, serving God. When you get saved, you're going to start serving God. You notice that old blind Bartimaeus was a beggar, but when Jesus touched him and healed him, the Bible said that he followed him in the way. He left that beggar's garment. He left it there to the side. He didn't need it no more. And we don't need our old lifestyle anymore when we get saved. I tell you what, if people are talking about being a Christian, just believing in God, I tell you what, when it comes to being saved, amen. Maybe, I don't know, technically or really there's nothing different in being a Christian or being saved, but it seems like we're headed to that day where just about everybody's a Christian. I'm not worried about if they're a Christian or not, if that's what they're going to identify being a Christian as believing in God, because like I said, the devils believe. And so I'm not asking if you believe this morning. I want to know, are you saved? Have you experienced salvation? Amen. There's a difference in believing in God and experiencing something called salvation. Amen. God gives us something called salvation. Amen. And when he saves us, we became a different person. There's some things that go along with salvation. Hallelujah. Things that accompany salvation. He said your work and labor of love. When you get saved, you're going to start showing it. Notice in verse 10, he said, which ye have showed. Hey, listen, being saved and not saying you're saved. Being saved is showing you're saved. There's a lot of people can say they're saved, but they live like the devil. I'm telling you what, if you're saved, it's going to show. I read where Oswald Chambers talking about habits, and he said, amen, you're going to work out what he worked in. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? Amen. Because he worked a work of salvation on the inside. Now it's my job to work the work of salvation on the outside. I've got to work it out what he worked in. Can you say amen? I'm talking about things that accompany salvation. Notice verse 10, he said, which ye have showed toward his name. One thing and one part of being saved is not being ashamed to show it. I said one thing about being saved and one thing that accompanies salvation is not being ashamed to show it. Listen, if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. I don't care if you're in a crowd, amen, that everybody's sinning. When you're saved, there's something there called boldness that'll cause you to stand and say, I'm not going to do that because I'm saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, which ye have showed toward his name. Verse number 11, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. It's going to show on the outside. Amen. You're not saved of works. We're not saved of works lest any man should boast. But when you get a real dose, I'm talking about a real dose of genuine salvation, you're going to start showing it. People's going to see a difference in you. Amen. They're going to see a change in you. Show the same diligence. And I tell you what, Brother Sonny Gold told about knowing that man that wrote the song, I've Been to Calvary. I didn't know him. I don't know his name. But he wrote that song, I've Been to Calvary. I'm not the man that I used to be. Hallelujah. He said, that first verse said he came through the door and his son went and hid on that song. Said he went behind the door. Brother Sonny said he heard him tell about when he got saved, and that he had worked a few days, and he come in on a certain day from work. Said he opened the door and said his son went and hid behind another door over there. Said he looked and his son was hiding from him. He said, come on out here, son. You don't need to be afraid of daddy no more, because I've been to Calvary and I'm not the man that I used to be. I want to tell you something. There's something
something that accompanies salvation, and that's a change. You may have come in here this morning bound by sin. You may have come in the house of God this morning bound by addictions. Amen. But there's something called salvation that's able to change you from the on the inside out. It's able to make a new man out of you. It's got something called salvation, and there's something that accompanies it and goes right along with it, and it's called a change. You'll be a different person than you used to be.
I remember that man down there in the graveyard, Brother Mike, when God touched him and he prayed through, and he stopped and said, I can't even cuss. You remember that? We had prayed with this man. Some of y'all remember Arthur coming here and praying after we had prayed with him down there. That's been a couple years ago. And it's a bad situation. Just to be honest with you, I didn't know what was going to happen. But after God touched him and he got praying there and God touched him, I believe God touched him in a genuine way. He set up telling us he loved us when he was telling us he was going to kill us and he hated us and all those things. And changed just like that. He said, I can't even cuss, preacher. Whoa, glory to God. I'm telling you what, there was a change. It was called salvation. And there's something that accompanies salvation. Hey, if you're having a problem with that, you know what you ought to do? Quit trying to act like you're something, amen, greater. You got something great. And just go back and get another dose of salvation. And it'll take it right out of you. I believe it with all of my heart. I said, I believe it with all of my heart. If you got a problem with your mouth and cussing, just go there and ask God to save you again. What's wrong with that?
Praise God. Somebody say praise God.
A change. Ezekiel said that he said, I'm going to put a new heart in them. I'm going to take that stony heart out and put a heart of flesh right in there. I'm talking about a change. When God gets a hold of you and he gives you a genuine salvation, you won't be the same person. He met Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and it wasn't very many days, and that man that was fighting the church was now eating with them, and it wasn't very much longer he was preaching the same gospel that he used to fight against. What happened? He got salvation, and there's some things that go along with it, and when you get saved, you're going to change.
And he wrote in Timothy, and he said, I before thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save. I'm talking about salvation this morning. I'm talking about being saved. I didn't ask if you believed in God. I believe if I ask everybody in here, say they believed in God. But I want to know, are you saved this morning? Have you been to Calvary where that blood's applied to your heart? Amen. It changed you and you're not the same person. You don't think like you used to think. You don't talk like you used to talk. You don't walk that way. Are you tired of the life of sin this morning? I want to declare unto you by the word of God, there is something called salvation. And it ain't this preacher that gives it to you. It's the God in heaven that sits on his throne and his son died on the cross so me and you could be saved. I said so we could be saved. Glory to God. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He can take a drunkard and make a preacher out of him. He can take a drug addict and make a soul winner out of him. Come on, church. We serve a God who holds in his right hand something called salvation. He wants to save this morning. Do you believe that? I said he wants to save this morning. And when he saves, he's going to give a change. No wonder they sang the song, "There's been a change in me. A change in me. For I'm not the man that I used to be. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new." There's been a change. Is there anybody sitting here this morning that God saved your soul and he changed you? Hallelujah. I said he changed you. That's what he wants to do this morning. If he wants to change somebody right here in this house, amen, you're bound by sin. There's something called salvation who will loose you through the power of Jesus, through the power of the cross, and he'll save your soul and you won't even be the same person. Many years ago, there was a man that was a sheep thief. He stole so many sheep. They caught him so many times. They branded a ST right on his forehead. Sheep thief. Y'all still with me this morning? The man got saved. I almost said the dude got saved. I've been preaching in the jail too much. The dude got saved. Y'all still with me? The man got saved. Woo! He lived for many years and was such a man that loved everybody and such a change in him. One time he was walking through town, an old man, and little kids was standing around there. Another older person that knew what that ST stood for was standing there, and he walked through. One of the kids said, "What does that ST stand for?" They said, "Well, we don't know." Another boy spoke up and said, "The only thing I can figure is it stands for saint. He's such a good person. They must have branded him because he was such a saint. They didn't know that the devil had that mark put on him because he was a sheep thief." Amen. But God took the sheep thief and made him a saint. Hallelujah. That's the power of salvation. That's the power of the cross. He can take a man, amen, that's on the road down and put him on the road up. He can take a man that's got it all messed up and take a man that's got his life in order, got his family in line, serving God in the house of God. I'm so glad there's things that accompany salvation.
I said, I'm glad there's things that accompany salvation. The scripture says, "With joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation." Woo! There, now I ain't got time for them all, but I'm going to just throw this one in right here. Not only does a change accompany salvation, but joy accompanies salvation. You know, sin will leave you broken, wounded, crying, unhappy, and worthless. But go and get your change at the altar. And I'll tell you what, I heard about one preacher from Kentucky named Brother Gillette. I barely remember him, but he played football so much his back was just twisted. He had surgery after surgery on his back. He walked real stiff. He got saved when he was 60 years old. And they said, I heard him tell this, said that he felt when he was praying through and got saved, that he felt two thumbs on his back popping them vertebrae right back in place. And I know I saw him probably when he was about late 70s, and he acted like he was about in his 30s. Run, shout, kick, jump a 4-foot fence. I'm talking about, and that man was in his late 70s. God promised him 20 years. He lived to be 82. His wife left him when he got saved. Lived single the rest of those years. Preached the gospel. Helped many a people. But they said, Joe Armbrister said,
that when he got saved, he started laughing and started laughing. And he got to laughing so much, he said, "Lord, stop. Stop, I can't handle no more. You're going to kill me with joy." Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, there's joy in salvation. And when you get saved, you can throw those depression pills out the window or flush them down the toilet, whichever one makes you happy. Because there's something called salvation. Amen. And God's able to give it. And he's got his hand outstretched. And there's something called joy that accompanies salvation. Hallelujah. Jack Coe got saved at 16. He didn't know what else to do at that tent revival. He said, "Hot dog, I got it." Hallelujah. Jumped up saying, "Hot dog, I got it. I got it. I got it." He went home saying, "I got it." His mom and dad said, "Jack's got drunk." 16, he thought he was drunk. He's in there saying, "I got it. I got it." He finally convinced them halfway that he had got something down there at that tent revival. I think that was like on Monday or something. But Saturday night, his mom decided she had had enough. She was going to go with him. She went down there at tent revival. And his dad went too. They were sitting there and the preacher preached about salvation. Jack said his dad was sitting on the end and his mom. And then there, I'm sorry, Brother Jack Coe said that. And he said that when the preacher gave the altar call, his mom said, "You going?" to his dad. He said, "No, I ain't going." She said, "Get out of my way." Said she walked down there and he said, "I'll stand beside her." And she said, "I want what Jack's got." Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. She got saved. Amen. He said they went to the grocery store that night. Y'all heard it before, hadn't you? Went to the grocery store. He was pushing the cart. She was so happy. She was so excited. Amen. They had done got saved down there at that Holy Roller meeting. Amen. And says pushing the cart to come by the tomato soup. She held up a can. She said, "Jack," tears running down her face. She said, "You know what that red reminds me of?" He said, "What, mama?" She said, "That reminds me of the blood of Jesus." Whoa! He said, he started shouting. Amen. Running down the aisles of the grocery store late on Saturday night. Said he woke up. He looking right at the meat man with a knife in his hand. Said that man looked at him and said, "You must have been at the tent revival. You got what my wife's got." Hallelujah. I'll tell you what it was. It was something called salvation. And there's something that accompanies salvation. It'll put a smile on your face. It'll put a dance in your feet. It'll put a spring in your step. It'll make you go when everybody else turns around. It's something that accompanies salvation. And it's called joy. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, "Yeah, I've been down there to tent revival." Brother Jack Coe said on Sunday morning, they're having service in the tent. And said he was there with his mom. His dad wasn't there. Brother Ricky said when they gave the altar call, he turned around and looked. Said, "Here come that meat man right down the aisle." Woo! Hallelujah! I'm telling you what, there's something called joy. He'll give it to you. I said there's something called joy. The devil wants to steal your joy. Let me tell you something, church. If the devil steals your joy, he might steal your salvation next. Sometimes we come in dragging our lip, tripping over our bottom lip. So sad, down the blue. Act like our mother-in-law moved in with us. It ain't all that bad. Woo! I said it ain't all that bad. Amen. We're saved. I said, we're saved. We got something to shout about. Are you saved today? Lift up your head if you're saved. Quit looking down in the mully grubs. Quit looking back in that pit. If you're saved, you've got joy because it comes with it. Well, hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and 8, I'm going to read this scripture right here, and then we'll close. It says, in whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice. Come on, y'all looking at me this morning. Maybe your mother-in-law did move in with you. At least they got a smile out of you. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, some people, if they smile, I think their face would crack. It's been so long. Sit up. But you know, it ain't all that bad. I said, it ain't all that bad. Come on, show me them pearly whites. Woo! He said, you don't see him, yet believing, you rejoice. But that's not all. He said, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Peter wasn't around when they wrote that song, but so I'm going to just add to it. And the half has never yet been told. That's what the songwriter said. He said, I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. The man had done found salvation, I'd say, because he said it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's something called joy that accompanies salvation. And when you get a dose of salvation, you can go through the trial and still smile. You can go in the prison with Paul and Silas and still sing. You can shout and dance in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, wait just a minute. Jesus is there too. Amen. When you're saved, you got joy. I'm telling you what, today, I'm glad there's things that accompany salvation.
Stand all over the house. I feel like in my heart this morning, there's somebody right here under the sound of my voice that the devil has stole your joy. The devil has took that smile right off your face. And now he's telling you, you're not even saved. Don't let the devil steal your joy. He didn't come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. But that's not all. He said, and that they might have it more abundantly. Woo! More abundantly. Joy. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, you're here under the sound of my voice, and the devil has stole your joy. You lift your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see it. The next thing he's going to do is steal your salvation. You better get your joy back. You better get the joy back in serving God. The joy back in going to his house. The joy back in serving him and loving him through prayer. Studying God's word. If you don't watch it, he'll have you all the way out. He's already told you there ain't no fun in it. He's already made it a drudge to you. Don't let him steal your salvation. Because if he does that, he has your soul. Now I feel like there's somebody under the sound of my voice. You're not saved this morning. You've not been saved. You don't know what salvation is. but you're bound by sin, addictions, drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be, you're bound. I want to tell you something. Salvation brings a change. Salvation will make a different person out of you and me. I could pass the microphone around this morning to people who've been saved. They say, when the Lord saved me, He changed me. He took the desires that I once had for sin and turned them into desires to love and serve God and hate sin. I want to know, is there somebody here this morning, you're not saved? Say, I need God to touch my life, Brother Snow. I need a touch from the Lord this morning. Would you lift your hand? I see that hand. Is there another? Is there another hand? You lift your hand. You say, I need a touch from God this morning. I see that hand. Is there another? You lift your hand. You say, I want the Lord to touch me, Brother Snow. It's just a feeble reach out. But when you lift that hand up, it's reaching out to God, saying, Lord, I need help. I see that hand. You need God to change you. You need God to change your desires. You need God to touch you. Do you need a touch from the Lord? Lift that hand this morning. I'd like to pray for you. Is there one more? Is there another? You're lost without God. You need God to touch your life. I want you to know, it ain't this preacher. It ain't this church. But it's the God we serve. It's the God in heaven who's able to save your soul, just like He saved that man in the tombs and changed him, just like He saved Saul and turned him into Paul, just like He saved many others, just like He saved John Newton, who was a drunk, turned him into a preacher and wrote the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Do you need salvation this morning? You lift your hand, say, it's me, preacher. I need a touch from God. I need help from God. All right, I'm thankful for those that responded. Now I'd like for you to take one more step and get out from where you're sitting. Come on down here to the front. I want those that raised your hand about joy to come first. That way you can break the ice for the others that desperately need to come. You lifted your hand. I need a touch from God. I need help from God. I need God to help me. Oh, there's things that accompany salvation. It's just that simple. It's just that wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, church, gather in. I want you to gather in and pray with these that have come. Hallelujah. Praise God, sister. Help us pray. Hallelujah, sisters.